Craig, I'm just playing back some memories. You know,
those are good days, aren't they?
The way things have been going sometimes with our Cleveland Browns, we forget that there was a time when we used to sing songs about our heroes and our teams. Now it seems the people that we know more are the fans rather than the players on occasion, or at least they're the longstanding fans. And one of them is on the phone with us this morning. You know her as the Bone Lady, Deborah Darnell, who has been coming to Browns games, bringing the Bone Mobile, and just bringing a lot of joy and fun to Browns fans. She's written a new book called The Bone Lady, Life Lessons Learned as One of Ohio's Ultimate Fans. Deborah, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Boy, I love listening to that 12 Days of Christmas. That's an oldie but a goodie.
Oh, yeah. All those great teams with the Cardiac Kids in that era where we was kind of our first taste of what we thought might be a successful run with the Browns. Let's talk about your run as the Bone Lady. We got to go back, to the time when the Browns left town, right?
Yeah, when the Browns left town, I was living in Columbus. And the only, none of us could do anything about them leaving. We were all heartbroken, right? So I decided the only thing I could do was boycott the NFL. So I didn't even watch the Super Bowl for 3 years till they came back. And then when the expansion draft happened in 99, I literally just woke up one day and said, I'm painting my car like a Browns helmet, and I'm putting a bone on top. And everyone told me I was crazy, and I was just so excited that the Browns were coming back. So I didn't, the first time in my life, I didn't listen to anybody. And I had no idea that that moment would change the course of my life for the last 16 years, but it did.
At what point did you become a Browns fan? It had to be before that, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in Richfield and Bath, Ohio. And, like most of us, listen, we all have our fan stories of how we became a fan. And, for most of us, like growing up in the 60s and 70s, there wasn't a lot to be proud of. But, like, football was always on the TV on a Sunday, and it was always Browns football. And I think, like most of us, you just grow up that way, and it's in your blood, and you just become a fan. That's how it happens here in Cleveland. It's a part of who we are. And it's a part of, I think, collectively as a city, it's also been a part of how we feel about ourselves. And, has it been rough since they came back? Yeah, and I think when they first came back, I say in the book, it was like we were still sporting that mullet we wore in the mid-80s during Bernie's years. It's like, I think we just sort of thought, okay, we'll give them a couple of years, but there isn't going to be a drop-off. We're just going to continue and, to be a good football team. And little did we know, we were an expansion team. And I think it took a few years for us to realize that.
Talk about that first trip from Columbus to Cleveland Browns Stadium when you sort of unveiled the Bone Mobile and you made your trek up 71.
Yeah. Well, after I had that thought of waking up in 99, I had my car professionally painted, and then I worked on it like every night. The whole inside is a collage of my tribute to the Browns' return. And then that was about April of 99. And then I entered myself in a 4th of July parade because I thought, oh, my gosh, I'll never be done. I'm a little obsessive that way. I'm good with a glue gun. So I finished the car, entered myself in a parade. And literally the night before, I thought, I can't just be normal and be in this parade. So I made my Bone Lady outfit. And I always say Bone Lady is what happens when you drink too much beer and own a glue gun. So pretty much I just did it for fun, and then in August, when they were coming back for that first preseason game, I drove up in my Bowmobile, stopped in Medina on the square. My cousin owns a restaurant, and when I came out after having dinner, there was a note from Fox 8, oh, call us. So they did. They filmed me driving into Cleveland the next day, and then the pep rally was downtown, and I walked into the pep rally with my dog Molly, and they just, everyone threw me up on stage. It was just this thing, but it was fun. We were all excited. The Browns are coming back. My story played that night. I thought, this is great, but, the game's tomorrow. And I woke up the next morning, was on the front page of the Plain Dealer. My mother called me and said, oh, you're in your car and you're in some outfit. And I'm like, yeah, but the game's today. So by the time I got to the Muni lot to tailgate, which is one of the most bizarre feelings in the world, people, because I had just done this for fun, and it was right out of the chute, people came up to me, and they knew my name, and it was weird, and I couldn't figure it out. And then a buddy who I know came over to the Muni lot and said, you know, they're playing that story on CNN, a headline news, over and over and over. So right out of the chute, this bone lady thing became a thing. And I, you know, I had more fun just with other fans, and it was just more fun to put it on. So I kept doing it. And then, you know, a couple years later, I'm honored at the, you know, Pro Football Hall of Fame and the Visa Hall of Fans. And at that moment, that's when I realized, okay, I'm representing women fans that love football, which I don't know if some of you know, but almost half of all NFL fans are female. And so then I thought, you know what, I can do some good things with this. And, you know, and I just keep going. I mean, just one thing after another. I just kept walking through the doors that were opening and having a good time along the way.
You're an artist by trade. You do a lot of murals, which is probably more of a solitary kind of a experience. How do you get behind sort of all this attention and being able to kind of be out there in the limelight?
Yeah, you know what's interesting? A lot of people, because I'm, you know, and Bone Lady's somewhat gregarious, and I'm, you know, I'm friendly. I love talking to people, but people think I'm an extrovert. I'm not at all. I'm really, really very much an introvert. I have my sort of my sanctuary where I paint, and I can go out and give to the world, and then I need to go hide in my cave for a while. And I sort of learned to take better care of myself. I don't know if some of your listeners know, but I went away for a while. I didn't do the Bone Lady thing for a couple of years, and there were a lot of things happening in my personal life, which I talk about in the book. And, you know, life happens. Football goes on. Life happens. And then I think I took some time out for myself, and because my game days got really they got overwhelming, you know, and I wasn't real strong in who I was at that time. And, you know, it got to be a lot. So I just sort of laid on my couch and watched bad football. And I hate to say the bad football, but, you know, I like to tell the truth. And so then I just decided that I was going to come back. And at that moment, opportunities happened. I got my gig that I do on Channel 19. Every Sunday, which I just love doing. And, you know, it was like, so I knew that I was meant to come back, and football's my passion, but the story in the book is about be who you are, find out what your passion is, and don't listen to what other people say about you. You know, I think I didn't have a lot of self-worth. I think I didn't have a lot of confidence, and I really learned I sort of found out who I am by putting on a costume. And, so that's the only reason I wrote a book, guys, is not so much about the football part, but I wrote it so to inspire other people to, you know, find out what you're good at, your gifts, whatever makes your heart sing. Just go do it and don't listen to other people. So.
And I'm guessing along the way you had a chance to meet some players. Do you have any favorites?
I don't play favorites. You know what? I will say over the years, oh, my gosh, you know, meeting a lot of different ones. I've just been so honored. Some of my favorite players that, you know, when I was a kid and so on, and I've got to do appearances with them and meet them. But I really have a big spot in my heart for all the Browns alumni, and especially the ones that still live in this town, because they, you know, no matter what's going on, it's been such a revolving door with free agency. I think the NFL sort of perpetuates that culture of guys moving on, you know, from team to team to team, and coaches team to team to team. But the alumni have really been the constant along with the fans, and they go to everything and they give up themselves. And I've always been so impressed by all of them. And, you know, they even, for a lot of them, like even like Golic and Bernie, you know, on our show, and Joe, like you can tell they're emotional. They want to win. They're emotional, and they love this city, and they love the fans. And that's the part that, even though it's really bad this season, we can't lose sight of that. You know, this is our football team. And we are emotional, and it runs, you know, we sort of bleed orange and brown. And just because of, you know, what new regimes are doing to our football team, we can't lose sight. We need to, like, stick together. And the alumni have just, I mean, they're really, I mean, my heart goes out to them. They are absolutely, you know, my favorite players. Whenever anyone says, who's your favorite player? I always say, oh, it's the alumni players, of course.
Well, there's a story in here. You got to meet Lou Groza. So that was obviously special.
I did, yes. And that was the first year that I was a Bone Lady. And I would go to the paint store, you know, being a decorative painter. And this was in 99. And the guy said to me, he knew I you know, had this car and was a Bone Lady. He goes, hey, I park Lou Groza every Sunday at the Buckeye Games. Why don't you come over and I'll introduce you? And so I got in my Bowmobile and I went down there and put my Bone Lady outfit on. And not only did I get to meet Lou Groza, these guys from a radio station interviewed me. And then they said, hey, Bone Lady, you want to go sit on the Buckeye bench? So they took me in. I got to sit on the bench, be on the field before the game. And then afterwards, this usher at the Horseshoe, who had worked there for, I swear, 50 years, he goes, Bone Lady, you got to be here at the game. So he gave me seats. I sat in box seats, and that was homecoming, and that was the game. They retired Archie Griffin's number. And I just, that was quite a day. And it was right out of, you know, it's very beginning of the Bone Lady. And I realized none of that would have happened if I wouldn't have boned up and put all my regalia on. And so, you know, I, that was another lesson. Like, I just sort of followed my gut, and I just did it and had the courage to keep doing it. And all of those things, you know, never would have gotten to meet Lou Groza, you know, had I not done that. So in the that was an awesome day.
In your book, you have a diagram of your outfit and all the different things that go into it. Is there a part of the outfit you wish you never had invented, or do you allow yourself to kind of morph anyway, depending on how things are? I mean, those shoes, I don't know how comfortable those shoes are for a four-hour plus game and everything.
Yeah,
and
those platform shoes, I'll tell you. I've had to sort of, you know, if you're going to wear a costume over the years, I sort of had to figure out how to make it comfortable. People think it takes me forever to, you know, get dressed, but it doesn't. I always say I can bone up in 10 minutes. Everything's pretty much put together. I just have to put it on.
Have you ever put the wig on backwards at all, or is that, how does that fit?
It has my favorite button on the back, the Steeler Suck button. Everyone wants to take a picture of that.
Wow.
No, I think, you know, I just sort of have learned, you know, I wanted my skirt to stick out. That was a drag queen years ago, or when I was putting my outfit together, and I said, I want my skirt to stick out. And he said, oh, hula hoop, honey. And I thought, wow, that was great.
Wow.
So pretty much it hasn't changed that much over the years. I just added a lot more to it. So,
well, there's a picture of the inside that many people, I don't know, get to see unless they're actually at the game like that. Do you ever, you have Elvis, there's more things added inside here as well. Is there really room for people in there?
Oh, with the Bowmobile. Well, you know, I don't tailgate anymore. And actually, my Bowmobile is parked at a friend's shop, Dave Detzel in Avon, and he has an auto body shop. And I'm figuring out what to do with it. It does still run. I need to get it restored. I want to restore it and display it somewhere because it's really a piece of Cleveland Browns history since they came back. And, it is so funny. When I would take people for a ride, they would look and they go, Bone Lady, how do you see out of this? And I'd say, oh, I don't have to see. People just see me and they get out of my way.
Yeah. I've seen, and it's fun how there's a lot of other Browns type vehicles out there as well. They use the, you know, the PVC for the face mask and whatever. It's just a way of showing their support for the Cleveland Browns. Any words of advice to us fans as we get through the final part of this season and what we can hope for?
You know what? I think I'm a realistic fan. Okay, I don't like to live in the land of delusion. Some people do. I tried it; it didn't work for me. the team is sort of doing what I expected from the beginning of the season, I hate to say. But, you know, like I said, they're our team. We have to hang in there. I have a feeling there will be lots of changes. And I just think there has to be. I mean, I know I'm all about consistency, but I want the right people in there running my football team. And I'm just seeing, you know, there's just been a lot of drama and shenanigans for the last couple of years, and I just don't feel like this is a very well-coached team. I really don't. And, you know, I would love to have a guy come in here that had some experience and, you know, and even experience a GM that has experience that knows how to, you know, pick a draft.
Right.
it's been frustrating, very frustrating season. But you know what? I really want to get to where we have a football team where all we talk about is football, and we don't want to talk about who our next quarterback's going to be. And, you know, it just seems like we're always talking about everything else except the game. And hopefully one day we will get there. So, Browns fans, just hang in there. A lot of people are, hey, but you can decide what kind of fan you want to be and empower yourself. You know, if you don't want to go to the games, you don't have to go to the games. You can still be a fan. You know, you can decide how much you want to participate. And I know that when I went away for a couple years, that was the best thing I did because I could still watch football. I could still watch my Brownies, but I didn't have the energy to really give that much of myself. And but I'm a lifer. You know, most of us are who are Browns fans. We're lifers.
Yep.
And it's got to get better. Doesn't it?
Sure. Well, I guess that's the doesn't it question mark. I guess you could leave it at that. We hope so. We always we thought it was going to get better when they came back. We always think it's going to get better, and we just hope that fans can, you know, when they get out and support the team, their outfits at the game day do not involve brown paper bags to place over their heads. Let's just leave it at that.
No, and you know what? Like, there's a certain sense of pride. I'm still proud about the Cleveland Browns. I mean, this is our city. That's our football team, and that pride never goes away. The people that come in here and the regimes that say they're going to fix it and then they don't, they think they know more than everybody else, that's getting old. That's the part that's getting old. And, you know, I mean, we're all family, and it's like you have this love-hate relationship with them, you know, and you just got to find a way to get through and find a radio host, find somebody that you can listen to after the game or on a Monday morning, find a way to sort of vent and get your frustration out. But, you know, but just keep the love. I mean, hey, we're Browns fans.
Absolutely.
That's how it is.
That's how it is. Our guest today has been Deborah Darnell. She is the Bone Lady. The book is called The Bone Lady, Life Lessons Learned as One of Football's Ultimate Fans. And you can meet Deborah coming up on Saturday. You're going to be over at the Barnes & Noble Booksellers at Crocker Park from 1 to 3. So,
yes.
You can't miss you. Even if you're sitting down signing books, your hair probably stands as tall
exactly.
as the crowd as well. So
exactly. Well, come out and meet me. And then on Sundays for Tailgate 19, I'm always down at the Winking Lizard at the Galleria. And so come out and say hello, and I'd love to get a picture. Sign your book. And you know what's funny about Crocker Park is there is a part when I did come back, there's a story about me in a dumpster at Crocker Park. So I went from being in a dumpster at Crocker Park to signing books at Barnes & Noble.
Wow.
Who knew?
Well, who knew? But it's all in the book here, The Bone Lady, Life Lessons Learned as One of Football's Ultimate Fans. We're glad you're a fan of the Browns. Thanks for sharing your story with us, Deborah. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time, and you enjoy your day.